This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for Trinity Sunday. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site. Today is Trinity Sunday, the youngest season in the liturgical cycle of the Anglican Church. The season of Trinity has become a season which is celebrated almost exclusively in the Anglican tradition. In the Episcopal Church in the United States and in the Roman Catholic, Lutheran, and Eastern Orthodox churches, Trinity Sunday is now called the second Sunday after Pentecost, and all the other Sundays are likewise numbered in their respective place after Pentecost. In the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, there may be as many as 26 Sundays after Trinity, depending upon the date of Easter and the date of the Feast of St. Andrew. The liturgical color for Trinity season is green, except for Trinity Sunday, which is a white day. The original purpose of designating a Trinity Sunday was to call the attention of the faithful to the doctrine of a triune God of three divine persons, each equal to the other in their divinity. In the most traditional parishes, Trinity Sunday is an occasion for hymns and prayers in praise of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Church's doctrines on the Trinity were not firmly settled until the 4th century, largely owing to the writings of St. Basil of Caesarea in Asia Minor, also called Basil the Great. In 371 AD, at the Second Ecumenical Council, which met at Constantinople, a new paragraph was added to the original Nicene Creed, clarifying the identity of the Holy Spirit and other issues. In the Nicene Creed used in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, the Spirit is called the Lord and Giver of Life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. The "and the Son" or Filioque clause was not part of the 371 AD Constantinople Creed. But that is another story. For today's podcast homily, I want to share with you three prayers from the Eastern and Western traditions of the early Church of the first millennium, and one from the formative days of the Church of England in the 1540s. The first is a prayer of St. Basil of Caesarea, offering guidance on internalizing the Holy Spirit. "I thank thee, O Holy Trinity, for this new day. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Open my ears to receive thy words and teach me thy commandments. Teach me to do thy will, to confess thee from my heart, and to extol thine all-holy name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. The second prayer is of unknown authorship from the Roman Catholic tradition and shows the influence of the Eastern Church's teachings on the liturgies of the Western Church. O most holy Trinity, almighty God, who gives life and vigor to every creature, and who sheds light eternal where there is darkness, we offer you our hearts, our souls, and our whole being, that we may offer perfect praise and love to your glorious name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The third prayer is from the Eastern Church tradition, in which worship of the Holy Spirit is more focused than in the Western Church. Most Holy Trinity, have mercy upon us. O Lord, cleanse us from our sins. O Master, pardon our iniquities. O Holy One, visit and heal our infirmities for thy name's sake. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. The fourth and final opening prayer is credited to Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, who wrote it in 1554 A.D. for the Litany, or General Supplication, which was the first new service of the Church of England and is still in use among traditional Anglicans. O God the Father, Creator of heaven and earth, have mercy upon us. O God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lord the Holy Ghost, Sanctifier of the faithful, have mercy upon us. O Holy, Blessed, and Glorious Trinity, one God, have mercy upon us. In the Anglican tradition, Trinity is regarded as a teaching season. It is an opportunity for the clergy, using the epistle and gospel readings in the Book of Common Prayer, to focus on essential lessons in church doctrine. In this series of podcast homilies throughout Trinity season, you will hear much about the theological thinking of the patristic fathers of both the Western and Eastern traditions. The, quote, for the epistle, unquote, reading is Revelation 4, verses 1 through 11, in which St. John has the first of about three dozen visions, this one of a door opening in heaven and a voice calling from on high, "Come up here." It includes powerful images typical of the entire book of Revelation, as well as the use of numerology, of which John used extensively, as I discuss in episode 2 of the AIC Bible study series Revelation, an Idealist Interpretation, on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/St. John C, and linked from the Bible study page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. This reading marks the first use of 24 for the thrones and elders, and 4 for the living creatures. It also includes a song inspired by the song of the seraphim in Isaiah's vision of the throne of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. For a verse-by-verse reading and discussion of these verses, I invite you to watch episode 9 of the Revelation series that I just mentioned. Production of the Revelation series resumes during the first week of June AD 2015, beginning with a new episode 10. The Gospel reading for Trinity Sunday is John 3, 1-15. An account of the visit of Nicodemus the Pharisee's nighttime visit with Jesus that is unique to the Gospel of John. This scene was explored in detail in the first of five unique events, which I discussed in episode 44 of the AIC Bible Study Series on the New Testament, and also linked from the Bible Study page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. In the companion blog posting for this podcast homily, I include a picture of the stained glass window depicting the visit of Nicodemus by Franz Mayer of Munich at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel, Richmond, Virginia, which is also printed in the AIC bookstore publication Paintings on Light, The Stained Glass Windows of St. Joseph's Villa Chapel, available from www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. Just as a reminder, 100% of the royalties from the sale of all AIC books is contributed to the AIC ministry. Nicodemus, who is only mentioned in the New Testament in the Gospel of John, being a Pharisee, was evidently a literal-minded man. When Jesus said to him in verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He could not understand how one can be born again without returning to his mother's womb, and he said so in verse 4, asking a question, "How can a man be born again when he is old?" or two questions. Second question, "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" In fairness, one must remember that Nicodemus is thinking of physical, earthly reality, while Jesus is speaking of things which are spiritual and which the church still practices in the sacrament of baptism. Jesus says in reply in verse 5, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Traditional Anglican teaching concerning baptism is found in the offices of instruction and in the catechism. Baptism by water, three times, one each for the three divine persons of the Holy Trinity. When the person being baptized is in the Spirit, produces for us a death to sin, just as Christ died upon the cross, followed by a new life in Christ, just as Christ himself rose from the dead. Baptism is a joining of the new Christian to Christ, the start of his or her new life in Christ. When Jesus speaks again, he is no longer speaking just to Nicodemus, but through Nicodemus to the Pharisees he represents. This is verses 6 through 8. "That which is born of the flesh, and that which is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, but you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." In this case, Jesus used the Greek word pneuma, or wind, which is also often used to describe the Spirit. This allusion has been preserved in church doctrine. We believe that the Holy Spirit is everywhere present like the wind, or as St. John Chrysostom said it in the 5th century, "everywhere present and fillest all things." Jesus then rebuked Nicodemus for being one of the most trained Hebrew scholars and leaders, and yet not knowing these things. And then he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe our witness, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Nicodemus, at the beginning of this reading, acknowledged that by virtue of his healing powers or signs, that Nicodemus recognizes that Jesus has come from God. Now Jesus completes the connection between Old Testament history and scholarship so favored among the Jews, and Jesus' New Covenant or New Testament statements, and also predicts his crucifixion and ascension once his mission among humanity has been accomplished. In the quotation, the Old Testament allusion is to Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9, concerning the serpent which became a bronze serpent. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I explore the imagery of Jesus' use of the phrases lift up and lifted up in the Gospel of St. John in episode 43 of the New Testament Bible study series that I mentioned earlier. I offer two closing prayers today for Trinity Sunday. The first is from the Most Arabic Sacramentary of the Spanish Catholic tradition, and the second is the Collect for Trinity Sunday, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from an 8th century prayer of the Blessed Alcuin of York, the author of the Collect for Purity, which opens every Anglican celebration of Holy Eucharist. O God, the Holy Ghost, who with the Father and Son together art worshipped and glorified, teach us to know the truth, and make us ever to rejoice in the truth. Amen. The Almighty and everlasting God, who hast given unto us thy servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of thy divine majesty to worship the unity, we beseech thee that thou wouldst keep us steadfast in this faith and evermore defend us from all adversities, who livest and reignest one God, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.